Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
An open book. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
If this podcast is proof of anything, it's that immersive experiences, conventions, and large-scale events are not to be trusted. From Glasgow's Willy Wonka Experience to Detroit's Bridgerton Ball to DashCon to Woodstock 99 to the Mr. Beast Immersive Experience, that's a recent one from a couple of weeks ago, these big, over-the-top events not only don't deliver, but they can be dangerous, traumatizing, and quite frankly, predatory. Today we're talking about a great event that went completely without issue. Just kidding. Of course today's episode is about an event that went horribly wrong. This episode of Ghost Town, the disastrous A Million Lives Book Festival, a fantasy romance event that became the Firefest of the literary world. A Million Lives was marketed as a convention for authors of romanticy, an extremely popular genre on BookTok, which is BookTok on TikTok, which is also exactly what you'd expect from a genre, an interplay of romance and fantasy. Organized by Archer Management, a company that provides social media strategy to authors and hosts, the event, which was held May 2nd through May 3rd, 2025, was promoted as, quote, the perfect event to make more bookish friends. The event will include a vendor hall, panels, a content creation room, fandom cosplay meetups, a cosplay competition, and a ball. The convention itself was planned by Grace Willows, according to Slate, a West Virginia-based author who describes herself on Facebook as a, quote, arc reader, event planner, and indie author supporter. And the vibe of the event, from all of the materials online, felt right. It really leaned into the romance fantasy aesthetic with dreamy pastels, deep jewel tones, florals, fantasy animals, frilly dresses, and really just the promise of books, revelry, community, and events with like-minded people. Ticket prices ranged from $50 to $250. Again, not too bad compared to many convention price points. The event was specifically promoted to aspiring and working fantasy authors who wanted to sell books, learn more about the industry, and hang out with fans. Sure, you had to pay for your own tables and setups, but it would be fun, it would build community, and it would create more visibility for young romanticy authors' brands and their crafts. But according to many TikTokers who reported back that weekend, A Million Lives Book Festival was the site of a million or so failures. Author Stephanie Combs told The Cut that as a first-time author, she was, quote, over the moon to receive an invitation to A Million Lives after she applied for a table. Quote, book events are a fun way to meet new readers, and I thought it would be a great introduction to the event scene, she said. Combs said she had been told the event had sold about 500 to 600 tickets, so she felt confident in her decision to attend. But when only about 30 people showed up the first day, she knew she had made a big mistake. Percy J. agreed with Combs, saying that there was no signage or advertising where the event was even located. Quote, we had no signage directing us around the convention center, no decorations, no badges, nothing to signal that our event was even happening. I was shocked and bewildered constantly because every 30 minutes, something else went horribly wrong. Now, I also have to mention where the event was held. This is not just at a multi-purpose space in a restaurant or a school or a library or a bookstore. The A Million Lives Book Festival was held at the Baltimore Convention Center, which has 300,000 square feet of contiguous exhibition space and 85,000 square feet of meeting space across 50 rooms and a gigantic, more than 36,000 square foot multifunctional ballroom. So think about 30 people the first day occupying this massive and probably very expensive space. There were many amenities that were advertised on the event website, including a content creation room, which did not exist. Badges and swag bags were mysteriously lost. And due to an absence of chairs and tables, again in this gigantic space, some panel speakers and audience members found themselves sitting on the floor. Carmen Ciantel, a narrator who moderated a panel, said she had to hold the talk in a room with, quote, no chairs, no tables, nothing. She said that 8 panelists and about 15 to 25 audience members ended up sitting on the floor for the hour-long panel without any microphones or air conditioning. The place where the, quote, ball was held appeared to have been a sparsely decorated area with, quote, nary a streamer or a banner. Combs said, instead of a DJ, at the ball there was a security guard playing music out of a small portable speaker. And, quote, the decor was silk dollar store rose petals scattered in a line across the tables. From the many, many photos that I saw on TikTok, there were a few people milling about in fancy, bright-colored dresses, interacting, as much as you might be able to interact, with these long, uninhabited gray fold-out tables with these sad little rose petals just scattered, even sparsely, along them. Quote, I feel like I vacillated between tears and laughter the rest of the night because it just felt so unbelievable to me that someone would set this up and think that it was an acceptable ball, Combs continued. There was no music, no decorations other than a few scattered rose petals, and you just have a bunch of people in a room, you know, eating a couple pieces of chocolate. Dismayed videos began appearing on TikTok over that same weekend, echoing Combs and Jay's sentiments. Many authors claimed that, though event organizers had promised 500 to 1,000 attendees, the convention had just a couple hundred people tops the whole weekend, which, of course, was a huge disappointment, given that authors had to invest in their tables and often rely heavily on sales from these types of events. Quote, I barely made enough to cover my fucking parking for 2 days, author Kate Disney Luger said in a TikTok, adding that A Million Lives, quote, felt like the fire fest of book festivals. Adds Jay, quote, if the bar for events was on the A Million Lives Festival, sent that bar straight to hell. On that fiery note, let's take a break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello. Hello.
Anybody out there? Great. Well, regardless, we want to say hi, hello. Regardless, we want to say hello to anyone supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
We want to kick things off by celebrating our government, but after that, we'll be reading a not good review of the podcast. I know you guys missed that. You guys want a little misery, a little trauma.
Yeah, you're like, this isn't positive enough for me.
Yeah.
This free content needs more.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get it. But we want to kick things off with our government. They were book publishers of their own. They were authors of their own before they turned to governmental work.
Well, were they?
This mayor had a book. Didn't do very well, unfortunately. Ooh. It was Tales of a 36th Grade Nothing.
36th grade.
Well, what's the original? Is that Judy Blume, the original?
Yeah, I think so. Tales of a third grade?
Yeah, yeah. This is Tales of a 36th Grade Nothing.
Yeah, take it.
a kind of sort of non-canon sequel to that book.
Mm.
Didn't do great. didn't do well at all. Nobody was interested, no. Unfortunately.
No, still YA literature, which is interesting as well.
Yeah. But like very loose with the Y, heavy on the A. I bought it. I was like, I found it very comforting. It was right in my wheelhouse.
Oh, cozy.
Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
And then this mayor had a book, Portrait of an Artist as a Way Older Man. Is that James Joyce? Or no, that's not James Joyce. Portrait of an Artist of a Young Man is not James. I'm largely uneducated. But this was a sequel. They were like, we like the portrait. We like the young man part of it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see the middle-aged man portion of this book series.
He's just tired.
Yeah,
he's just mostly like, laying down.
Yeah, he's like, I need an Advil.
Yeah.
Well, that would be our mayor, Chris Hernandez.
Hello.
Oh. this mayor wrote a book. Fahrenheit 311. Sorry. Laughing my own non-joke. I can't help it.
Wow. This is also non-canon, right? This sequel?
Okay. Yeah, it's
not a sanctioned.
Temperature in which a book totally rocks. That's Ray Bradbury, right? Fahrenheit 451?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
I know some things. I was in honors English, yeah. Despite my lack of education. But we got to thank Kat Jozell for that one.
Hello.
Another sequel. Nobody wanted it. A little Slaughterhouse 420, dude. Kurt Vonnegut is Slaughterhouse 5?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Pretentious. That's Rebecca's idea. Pretentious. Not mine. Well, my ideas are not pretentious. Rebecca's are pretentious.
I mean, Portrait of an Artist is a way older man. I think we're on an even playing field.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, just totally, totally like chilling, dude, like Slaughterhouse style. That would be Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This next book, not a lot of thought went into the title, but it is a sequel. It's Catcher in the Rye 2. To Catcher, to Rye. It involved a lot of cars. A lot of car racing. Holden Caulfield's much older, and he's just cruising around.
He's looking for family.
Yeah. He doesn't have friends. He's got family.
Uh-huh.
That would be Marissa Rothermel.
Hello.
And then our governor / publisher, who's like, sign away. We'll make that squeakquel. We're happy to. We'll make a sequel to anything, and then they won't sell, and it'll go into a landfill. To be flying up high over these landfills of books going,
yum.
Because the authors have to pay for all the unsold books, of course. They're like, how about we print 100,000 of them in advance? And you're like, oh, yeah, I need To Catcher, To Rye out there. So she's just flying over the landfills, collecting her money, cashing those checks from the comfort of a private jet.
No books allowed on that jet.
No books allowed. Yeah.
Just iPads and screens. Yeah.
That would be our governor, Avian Noble. If you want no ads, no chit-chat, 7 days free. Bonus episode up now. It is up now. It is pinned to the top of the Patreon. There's a brand new bonus episode for you to check out.
And you can go back. It may intrigue you.
It is. It's very interesting. We're just talking to Rebecca about it. And there are 80 more just like it. So if you're like, I'm already done with these 600 episodes, you got 80 more? Yep. It's in our Patreon. So head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The review.
Okay. You guys ready? Can tell you're from LA, so you know it's going to be bad. Little substance, lots of self-selling and marketing. Episode 40, 10 minutes in. I've heard ads and you talk about yourselves. Over 12 minutes in and you haven't talked about the subject matter. It's only a 40-minute podcast. If I wasn't driving, I would have moved on sooner. All right, so a couple things. It's not inaccurate. I even have something to say by that.
Those are our early episodes.
That's important.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go by numbers, we're in the deep in the 300s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is number 40.
Yeah.
Some growing pains. Some people might say it's still like that. And
yeah,
that is also very fair. But it is an older episode.
Yeah. And we've learned a lot of things along the way from episode 30, 40, did you say?
And here's the thing. In every city, state, and town other than Los Angeles, it's all substance. No one is selling anything to you. No one is marketing anything to you. It's just all good times and good vibes, and everyone's trying to help. If you go on the internet, if you're getting sold something, they are in the city of Los Angeles. They're not anywhere else.
I find it very interesting when people go back that far to, like, when I look at a podcast, I kind of go to the most recent episode and I like check it out from there. So I wonder if they search something or whatever. Like, when you go back that far, and again, I hope some of you have, and I'm still very proud of those episodes, but they're different. They have a lot more information about us. They're a little more meandering, a little more conversational. We've tightened it up.
Yeah,
over
we've
here.
Gotten down to business.
You know, so if you don't want free content, except for these breaks, that's when we go wild.
Here's what I don't understand. So this person's in a driving, you don't have the ability, like if you are listening to a song, it's like it's going to go into the next song. And if I hate the next song, well, I can't do anything about it. I'm just trapped. It's like you don't have any in the 2020, in the year 2025, you don't have the ability to fast forward anything. You can't switch from a song. You can't switch a podcast. You just have to suffer. And then as soon as you're done driving, write this review.
Yeah, well, that's where I call bullshit. I think he actually secretly, he or she, loves the podcast.
Yes.
Loves texting while driving, perhaps, because you're never going to write a review 3 hours after you get to your destination. It's just not going to happen.
I think it all started was like, I cannot wait to drop this bombshell about what I think about Los Angeles. And it really just started from there. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the thing. Because I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something about podcasts. They're all selling and they're all marketing. I don't care which one you're listening to. Even if they're not selling or marketing anything, the equity that you're putting into them will eventually get there. I'm telling you, there is no difference.
Thank you for listening.
But also thank you for listen.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think we've always been very upfront about who we are and what we do and the realities of things. And you know, it's not like we're like sitting on like a financial empire by any means.
This is still a labor of love.
It's 90% a labor of love, and 10% is whatever it is to keep like kind of the lights on, because there's costs to the platform, there's costs to the editing stuff, and there's costs to equipment. But 90% has always been and always will be a labor of love. So take that for what you will.
And actually, I challenge anyone who wrote a bad review and who listens to us still to email us, tell us what you like, and I'll do an episode. If you want something trimmed fat that's about something that's not LA, we got plenty of it. But this is what we do. We search all over the place for different episode themes, different topics that people haven't heard of. That's what we love. So like, hit us up and we'll make something you like or not at all, and you can never talk to us again.
On that note, you want to get back into the episode?
Let's do it. At first, there was no response from Archer Management or Grace Willows, but eventually an apology from Willows came via Archer Management's TikTok. In it, Willows dryly apologized to a Million Lives attendees, promising to refund anyone who asked for their money back. Quote, "I do understand that the ball tonight was not up to standards. There were a lot of issues getting set up, and it was not set up well," she said in the video. Then Archer Management's TikTok and Instagram shared a separate apology post that said, "AML, refunds. I wholeheartedly apologize for how the event turned out this weekend. We are currently processing refunds as fast as we can.
All refunds will be processed by May 31st. We thank and appreciate you for your patience. Commenters, however, were unimpressed by these posts. Though all comments have since been deleted from both TikTok and Instagram, Slate reported one of the top comments on TikTok read, quote, "Looks like she put about as much effort into this apology as she did into the event." But some attendees, including Jay, said that a refund wouldn't be enough to cover the financial hit they took just to be there. After spending more than $2,000 on flights, event fees, and food for the weekend, Jay, who is pregnant with twins, said she flew from Texas to Baltimore to be there, which required, quote, tremendous effort. The exact number of people who went to a Million Lives Book Festival is unclear, but those who spoke to NBC News estimated that, when all was said and done, perhaps less than 100 people showed up. Some people also blame the Baltimore Convention Center, where, of course, the event was held, for maybe being too big that it lost event supplies, including swag bags and snacks. In response to these accusations, the venue's director of sales, Christine Boussière, said, quote, "I can tell you that we didn't receive information from the event organizer about missing boxes from the event. I checked in multiple times with show management and heard nothing but positive comments about how things were going on site." In the aftermath of all of this, attendees banded together online to share their experiences and petition for answers. Some people created a page online called, quote, "A Million Lives Recovery" to solicit public support for the financial recovery of authors who, quote, were left with financial debt due to flights, hotels, shipping their merchandise, and table fees only to be misled by the turnout of the event. Jonathan Hawker, a featured author from Michigan, expected to have three paid nights at the Hilton Baltimore Convention Center for himself and an assistant as part of a planned $1,000 reimbursement. He was told the hotel hadn't given confirmation numbers, which necessitated a relocation to a nearby Days Inn. Only one night was covered there. He thinks he spent at least $2,500 in total to attend. Hawker said that if he could talk to Willows, quote, "I would tell her that this was one of the greatest disappointments of my life. I felt so recognized and appreciated to be invited to something like this event was portrayed to be, only to be left feeling so incredibly taken advantage of." Carmen Sientel, who we heard from a bit earlier, told MSNBC, quote, "I took time off from work, took time away from my scheduled family events to attend this fest. It's not a festival to attend this fiasco. As bad as that might seem, it is nothing compared to the thousands of dollars authors lost. I want to highlight that this event financially crippled 100-plus independent authors. I know some authors planned family events, book releases, and other things around this. But for what?" So what exactly happened at the Million Lives Book Festival? Of course, for some answers, we turn to Reddit. Says Honeybomb67, "So I plan 5K-plus conventions for a living. I am completely baffled how she was able to reserve the space through the convention center as its prime convention season, guessing that they took the business because they didn't have anything else. But even still, at what price point? Conventions aren't known for being inexpensive. There are food and beverage minimums, hotel block minimums, cleaning, etc. This is my number one WTF. Says TinPA, "Word on the street is the organizer owes around $140K to the convention center / hotel. I can't verify it, though, secondhand via one of the authors." From Bookish Events Manager on Threads theorized, quote, "I think it's a case of someone who was in over their head, but when organizers withheld key information, like actual ticket sales, logistical breakdowns, or financial shortfalls, they're no longer, quote, figuring it out. They're veering into fraud territory. It likely falls under misrepresentation or deceptive business practices, and if there was financial harm involved, which many authors are now reporting." But perhaps like that TikTok, Redditors in the romanticy space feel equally as skeptical. Says Sugar Magnolia 2020, quote, "There are a lot of greedy opportunists in the bookish space. This isn't the first convention put on by someone who doesn't know what they're doing, and it won't be the last." Afternoon Sun Showers adds, quote, "Yep, this is my takeaway. Grifter's gonna grift, unfortunately. I can't keep track of the number of romanticy-adjacent bookish events in the past 2 years I've heard about being complete disasters." I, for one, am fascinated by these disasters and wonder if we will ever hear the last of one of these large-scale events that gets truly out of hand. For the sake of the wallets and psyches of attendees, I truly hope so. But for my own morbid curiosity, maybe not.